Lord, as we come before your word, we ask that you would open our eyes to behold the wonders, the truth that is here. Lord, help us to receive these words, to apply these words. Help us to live the truth of your word. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? That question really should be unnecessary, because that's what we should always be doing. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever told a lie? Well, if you have, then this sermon is for you and for me. James 5 verse 12 says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." It, along with so many other commands, reminds us that the scripture calls us to complete trustworthiness, to live lives of total integrity. The scripture tells us to never lie and to always tell the truth. It's a big deal. So much so that in Proverbs 12, verse 22, we read this: "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. The Lord hates falsehood and deception." So this morning, I want us to consider just how serious it is that we tell the truth to one another. Again, our text is Ephesians 4. We're going to focus on verse 25. But to give us a little context, I'm going to read the paragraph before. So we'll start at verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. "Hear now the word of the Lord, God's holy, perfect, inerrant, infallible word. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." This is the word of the Lord. Last week we considered this previous paragraph, this general command to put off the old and put on the new. We are called to turn away from sin and to live in a life that is now characterized by holiness and righteousness. Put off, put on. But then what Paul does next, and what we're going to see in the next 5 weeks, is he gives us five different examples. He focuses in, he gets very specific on what it looks like to put off and to put on. So in verse 25, again, he says this: "Therefore, having put away," and the Greek word's actually the same exact word that says put off above. So having put off falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It's straightforward and clear. We are to replace falsehood with truth-telling. We must get rid of lies and be people of the truth. We should hate deception like the Lord does, and we should love the truth. We should have nothing to do with deceit or deception. Rather, we should be characterized by the truth. It's what should always be on our lips. Christians must never be a false witness, never lie. Rather, they are to be those who tell the truth. Now, earlier in the chapter, back in verse 15, we were commanded to speak the truth in love. And I argued there in that context that that was referring specifically to the truth of Scripture. It was being contrasted with false doctrine. And so the truth that we proclaim to one another is the right doctrine, the truth of Christianity. But now, this call to speak the truth is a general call to just speak that which is accurate, what is true, what is right. Here it's contrasted with falsehood. The command is to not lie, and especially not to lie to one another in the church. Rather, we are to speak truth to one another. And listen to the very end of the verse for the reason why we should do so. A motivation is given. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So let me summarize it this way. We are to put away falsehood and tell the truth because we belong to one another. That's the outline for my message. Put away truth, or put away falsehood, and tell the truth because we belong to one another. So, first of all, put away falsehood. We know we're not supposed to lie, and yet I think lying may be one of the most common sins. We can do it without even thinking about it. It comes so naturally, so easily. It's common for people to make vows and promises carelessly, casually. So in our culture, people say, till death do us part, until they get bored and they find someone else. And then those binding words seem to just fall away like they never said them. Our culture seems to be telling us that our words don't really matter all that much. And yet we know that they really do. I was talking with someone this week, and he told me how he just recently had been in a room and he saw one person push another person. So he quickly said, hey, stop that pushing. And the person who had just done the pushing turned and said, I didn't push anyone. I mean, the whole room could see, yeah, you did. It was obvious. And yet this was like the default answer. They just immediately denied it. This is the get out of free card. I can just get away with it if I just lie, if I just say it wasn't me. For that person, lying had just become a way of life. It was almost an unconscious survival technique. Even worse is when we intentionally lie, when we try to deceive others, when we want to mislead them. Of course, the most extreme example is bearing false witness in a court of law, lying under oath. Perjury can destroy someone's life, and that's why we swear not to do it. Speaking the truth really is important. Falsehood can also be found in our everyday conversations. Think with me about just how easy it is to twist the words of others. We can retell a story in such a way that we always look like the hero and the other people, they're the bad guy. We can selectively leave out the mean things we said and focus in on the horrible things that they have said. We're skilled at passing off our interpretation of the events as if that were what actually happened. We can summarize the situation, leaving out certain details so that we're the one who looks good. We must not twist the words of others. Christians are called to speak differently, to avoid any form of deception. Listen to how Paul describes his ministry. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2, he says this. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. He's not trying to deceive anyone. He's just speaking what is plain and clear. He's calling us to have a clear conscience. Christians should be those who don't have anything to hide. We're not being deceptive. We're not trying to get you to believe something different than what it is. We're called to live lives of truth. It really is easier that way. When you lie, then you have to remember what you had said so you can try to, you know, be consistent in all of your lies. God has told us how life works best, to speak the truth. We're to avoid every kind of deceit, even in little areas. That means we need to be careful not to exaggerate. It is so easy. We're all tempted to overstate the situation. when describing how far we ran or how many people came to the party or how long we sat in traffic, and the list goes on and on and on. We feel like we have to sweeten the detail. We have to make it more of an ordeal than it was. I wonder, can you be trusted to accurately represent the truth, even in everyday little matters? Additionally, we must avoid making promises that we cannot or don't intend to keep. Listen to the wise words of Ecclesiastes 5, verse 5. It is better that you should not vow than that you vow and not pay. It's pretty straightforward. Don't make a promise that you're not going to keep. Do what you say you're going to do. Mean what you say and say what you mean. Or listen to the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verse 37, Jesus says, let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. What's his point? We shouldn't have to swear. We shouldn't have to promise for someone to believe that when we say yes, we mean yes. We should always mean yes when we say yes and always mean no when we say no. So where does lying come from? What's the source of falsehood? Well, if you look back to verse 22, I think we're told. So Ephesians 4, verse 22, put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. You see, falsehood is one of the characteristics of the old self, the sinful old way of life. It's that which we're supposed to put off and be done with. And here we're told that lying comes from these deceitful desires. We want the wrong things. The main desires that lead us to lie are fear and greed. We're afraid of what other people are going to think. We're afraid that our sin will be found out, and so we lie. We want to cover our sin. We don't want anyone to know. We're afraid of the truth, and so we lie. Or we're greedy. Greed leads to lies. There's something we want, and we think lying's the way to get it. It's so much easier than working for it. If I just say this or this, now there's my way in. Or we want to look good and important, and so we lie. Do you remember Ananias and Sapphira? They generously gave to the church. They sold a piece of property and they gave the proceeds to the church, except for they only gave part of it. They gave half of the money to the church, but they told everyone that they had given it all. They wanted to be thought of as more generous than they really were. It was just too easy to lie. And of course, you know the story. The Lord struck them dead as a serious warning to us. Greed also leads to deception in business practices. In order to gain a profit, we attempt to cheat one another, to swindle one another. There's the bait and switch. We describe the product or the service in one way, but then what you really get, it's just not it. I remember we bought a pair of shoes once. We didn't realize at the time, we weren't paying close enough attention, but we bought it from some overseas company, you know? And it took a long time. They sent us a tracking number, and we were waiting and waiting, and finally the day, the package arrives, and it's this tiny little, like, kid's ring. There's the package. That's, your package has been delivered. And we're like, where's the shoes? It was just a scam. Christians can have nothing to do with that type of thing. Do you remember the Norman Rockwell painting with a chicken on a scale? If you look carefully, you'll notice that both the butcher and the customer have their finger on the scale. They're both trying to cheat the other one. The scripture forbids such action. Listen to Proverbs 20, verse 23. Unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord, and false scales are not good. We're supposed to be honest. We're supposed to pay the price. Or look at Proverbs 21:6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. We are warned not to lie in order to get. So again, where does lying come from? Well, we see the same answer in the parallel command in Colossians. It was read earlier in the service, Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. See, lying is a characteristic of the old sinful nature that we are to be done with. We are to live new, transformed lives. We're to put away falsehood of every kind and tell the truth. We must refuse to bend the truth or spin the truth or shade the truth. As easy it is to twist the truth and to color the truth and to exaggerate the truth, brothers and sisters, we simply need to tell the truth. That's our next heading. Tell the truth. That's what this command is after. Again, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Christians are called to be straightforward, to be honest, to be clear. We should have integrity. We should be trustworthy. We should intentionally speak the truth in every circumstance. We need to get into the habit of rigorously cultivating truth in our speech. Our credibility to communicate about spiritual matters comes from a track record of faithfully, truthfully communicating earthly matters. If we keep lying and exaggerating about all these other things, why in the world would the world believe us when we come and tell them the truth about Jesus? No, if we're going to proclaim the truth of the gospel, we have to be people who speak the truth in everyday situations. Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, the household of God, which is the church of the living God, is a pillar and buttress of the truth. What an image. The church, we are like this pedestal. We hold the truth high. It is our responsibility to make sure that the truth is known. So that means in our interactions with others, we need to tell them the truth, even if it's hard to hear. Like Revelation 21:8. All liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. That's true. Liars deserve to go to hell. Or listen to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. Swindlers will not inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. You see, it's true that sinners, liars, thieves, they deserve God's punishment. And yet, we also have been entrusted with the truth of the gospel. That even liars can be saved from the punishment that they deserve because of what Christ has done on our behalf. On the cross, Jesus, the one who never lied, he was condemned so that liars could receive pardon. Jesus, who is truth incarnate, he died so that liars could be saved from hell that they deserve and be given heaven, if they will indeed repent and believe. Any sinner who turns away from their sin and puts their trust, their confidence, their dependence upon what Christ has done for them on the cross can have their sins forgiven. They can be given eternal life. What about you? Have you turned away from your life of sin and put your confidence in Jesus? Christians are those who, trusting in Christ, have put away falsehood and seek to speak truth to one another. This is the fruit of the gospel. We've seen this morning that we need to replace falsehood with truth. But there's one more thing for us to consider. We need to look at the motivation, the reason why that Paul gives us. It's that we belong to one another. Look again at verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for We are members one of another. This isn't the only motivation, the only reason for this action, but it's an important one. We should put away falsehood and tell the truth because we belong to one another. The image here is that of the body. We are members of the body. Again, the church gets referred to as the body of Christ again and again. So for example, in Romans 12, we read in verse 4, "For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." So there's this same phrase describing us. We're members of one another. So your body has different members. You've got your nose and your eye and your ears and your kneecap and your feet and your fingers, right? They're all different members. It's actually a medical term. Dismemberment means your arm has been severed from the body, right? A member has been removed. The body of Christ has members. We are those members. And what we're being told here is that those members care for one another. They belong to one another. So if my hand is smashed, my other hand doesn't say, "Well, I don't care." Immediately, I begin to cradle the hand that's been crushed. We all belong to one another. And the logic here is how ridiculous it would be for one member of the body to lie to another. If the eye lies to the hand about the iron being hot, well, then the hand and therefore the body will be burnt. If the ear lies to the feet about the rattle of the snake, the foot ends up getting bit, right? We don't want that to happen. We want to protect the body. And so for us to lie to one another is to harm ourselves. It's to harm the body to which we belong. Paul says, you can't lie to one another. To do so is to harm yourself. Now, Paul picks up this same metaphor and uses it again later in chapter 5. There he's speaking about marriage. Listen in verse 28. He says, "In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body." So there's actually an even deeper motivation here. It's not only that we belong to one another, but that we belong to God. We are members of his body. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so that means that truth matters because it reflects the very character of God. Truth is the very nature of God. It means that we are a people of the truth because our God is the God of truth. This is illustrated over and over again throughout the scripture. Isaiah 45, verse 19. "I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right." In Titus 1, verse 2, Paul refers to God who never lies. Numbers 23, verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will he not fulfill it?" Or the simplicity of Hebrews 6, 18, "It is impossible for God to lie. Our God is truth. He does not lie, and he calls us to be like him." Truth reflects God's character, and conversely, lies reflect the character of the devil. Satan is referred to as the father of lies, the deceiver of the whole world. So if you twist the words of others, if you lie and deceive, you're doing the very work of the devil. Christians should have nothing to do with it. Rather, as members, not only of the body of Christ, but as members of the family of God, we must speak the truth to one another. So my prayer is simply this. In the church, may we not have any lying. No hypocrisy, no deception, no duplicity, no evasion. Rather, we need to be straightforward and clear honest, and truthful. This is what the scripture calls us to. Telling the truth is more important than I think we often realize. It's a big deal. May we, out of love for God and for one another, forsake falsehood and always tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the truth. We thank you for all that you have revealed. We know that your word is truth. We know that you are truth. And that so often our words fall short of truth. Lord, how we delight in the gospel that takes sinners, liars, and grants them grace, forgiveness, mercy. Lord, we're so grateful that not only can we be pardoned from sin, but we really can be transformed. We really can be made into those who are people of the truth. So Lord, help us. Help us day after day to forsake falsehood, to turn away from sinning of all kind, and to do what is good and right. Help us to be people of the truth. Help us to do this by your own power. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.